there was a couple who lived in the countryside. And they lived in a small house with a small yard, and they didn't have much in the way of wealth or possessions. In their front yard stood an apple tree, and they loved having an apple tree. They were quite proud of this tree. But the tree had a problem. Season after season, year after year, the tree only produced dry, wrinkled, brown apples. In other words, the fruit produced by the tree was rotten. Years passed, and each year saw the exact same rotten fruit. Finally, the couple decided that it was no good to have an apple tree if it wasn't producing good apples, so they both agreed that something must be done. And so bright and early one morning, the couple grabbed a ladder and a couple of staple guns and a bushel of fresh, bright, shiny red apples. They climbed the ladder up into the tree and they spent the day stapling the fresh apples to the branches. And when they had finished, they climbed back down the ladder, they took a step back, and they looked at their tree, admiring the beautiful apples on the branches. From a distance, it looked like this tree had produced a full and beautiful harvest. And as long as it looked that way, the couple agreed that the problem had been solved. So they carried on about their lives, occasionally stapling new, bright, shiny red apples to the tree. And that's how this couple's story ends. Now, you don't have to be an expert in farming to know that the couple's solution to their problem is incredibly flawed. If year after year the apple tree is only producing rotten apples, then it's clear that there is a problem not with the apples, but with the tree. There's a problem not only with what the system has produced, but with the system itself. Stapling apples to a bunch of tree branches is a temporary fix at best. It might look like the problem has been solved, but stapling apples to tree branches doesn't do anything for the tree roots. It won't take long for the fresh apples to begin to rot. And it's easy to laugh at the absurdity of the couple's solution to their problem. It's easy to think to ourselves, well, I would never try to staple a bunch of apples to a tree. And you're probably right. You probably would never actually staple apples to a tree. But there is something else that we do that's really similar to this, and it's something that we do a lot. And this is the problem that Psalm 146 addresses. Psalm 146 says, "Praise the Lord. Let my whole being praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live." Don't trust leaders. Don't trust any human beings. There's no saving help with them. Their breath leaves them, then they go back to the ground, and on that very same day, their plans die too. The person whose help is the God of Jacob, the person whose hope rests on the Lord their God, is truly happy. God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. God, who is faithful forever, who gives justice to people who are oppressed, who gives bread to people who are starving. The Lord who frees prisoners, the Lord who makes the blind see, the Lord who straightens up those who are bent low, the Lord who loves the righteous, the Lord who protects immigrants, who helps orphans and widows, but who makes the way of the wicked twist and turn. The Lord will rule forever. Zion, your God will rule from one generation to the next. Praise the Lord. This is our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. So Psalm 146 makes a few points. The psalm urges us to praise God. It encourages us to keep praising God because of all the wonderful things God does. And perhaps the most striking point that Psalm 146 makes is that we ought not to trust human leaders. And Psalm 146 is not the only part of scripture that makes this point. The scriptures make it clear again and again that we ought not to trust human leaders or human systems, but we do it anyway. When it comes to trusting human leaders, we are just like the couple who staples new apples to their dying tree. We recognize that there's a problem. We recognize even that there's a systemic flaw. But instead of assessing the roots, we staple a new apple to the tree in the hopes that this one particular bright, fresh, shiny apple is going to be the one that solves the problem. We recognize systemic flaws, but instead of changing the system, we just put our trust into a new leader in the hopes that this one particular leader is going to be the person who solves all of the problems. The scriptures make it clear again and again that we ought not to trust human leaders, but we do it anyway. Why do we rely so much on human leaders? There's probably a few obvious answers to this question. For one thing, we rely on our human leaders because we want them to fix things. When we're in distress, when we feel backed into a corner, when we believe that our options have all run out, we are desperate for any solution. And so when a new leader steps up and promises a solution, we grab onto that promise and we refuse to let it go, even when our leaders repeatedly fail to uphold their promises. We also rely on human leaders, though, because we can actually see them and hear them. They're tangible. And when we're in distress, we want something tangible to cling to. And our human leaders seem to offer that to us, or at least we think that they do. When we feel forsaken by God, and when we're desperate, it's easy to feel forsaken. Human leaders seem to show up and say, "Well, I haven't left you. You can trust me." But we also rely on human leaders because sometimes it just doesn't seem like God is doing the things that God is supposed to be doing. Especially as of late, it doesn't feel like God is being the God described by Psalm 146. Psalm 146 says God gives justice to the oppressed. But looking at the situation in Afghanistan alone, it is clear that there are still people being oppressed. Psalm 146 says that God gives bread to starving people, but it doesn't take much more than a short drive around the block to see that there are still people among us who are starving. Psalm 146 says God sets the prisoners free and brings healing and protects the marginalized and the vulnerable. But it's hard to tune into the news today and believe any of these words. It's easy to read Psalm 146 and wonder whether or not the psalmist even has it right. In light of the way that things are, maybe we shouldn't trust God. Maybe we do need to trust human leaders instead. And maybe we think that God hasn't done any of these things yet because we need to fix things up a bit first. And so we look to our leaders to do that. We look to our leaders to initiate that process. Or maybe we just think that God isn't going to step in at all. And so it's just better to rely on our leaders to take care of things. Maybe all of these statements sound familiar to you because maybe they're all thoughts and feelings that you've had. Maybe you're thinking them and feeling them all right now. And if you are, that's okay. This kind of doubt is a natural part of faith, and God is thick-skinned. God can take our expressions of doubt and our questions and our fear and even our blame. There's no problem with expressing this kind of doubt. There's no problem with wondering if God is actually going to do these things like Psalm 146 says God is going to do. The problem isn't that we doubt God or that we're hurt when it feels like God hasn't stepped in. The problem is with the fact that in times when we sense God's absence, we place our trust in humans instead. And the reason that this is a problem is the exact reason that Psalm 146 says, we cannot trust human leaders because there is no saving help with them. When human leaders die, whether they actually die or they just lose their 15 minutes of fame, their plans die with them. And we don't need another empty promise. We don't need another unfulfilled plan. What we need is saving help. And even when we don't believe it, God is our saving help. When we pray Psalm 146, we make a bold statement. We say that God is our saving help. We say God is faithful forever. We say God reigns. And we say our hope rests in God. And that's a bold thing to say. In order for us to have hope at all, it means that we need to first admit that there is something wrong. To have hope means that we acknowledge that things are not the way that they should be, but it also means to acknowledge that we imagine the way that they could be. To have hope means to express the belief that somehow God can and will set things right. And we express this belief even in the midst of our unbelief. Praying Psalm 146 doesn't mean that we need to have all the answers. It doesn't mean that we can make sense of continuing oppression and suffering. It means facing the ugliness, the brokenness, the horrific state of our world head on with the courage and the strength to say, in spite of the way that things are, God is our saving help. Praying Psalm 146 means we refuse to keep stapling apples to trees in the hopes that it will somehow fix the system. It means instead of putting our hope in leaders who will eventually fade away, we put our hope in the God who reigns forever. Because that is the gospel. God is faithful forever. God reigns forever. This isn't wishful thinking that we use to comfort ourselves. It is the truth. It is both our future hope and it is our present reality. Our hope doesn't rest merely in believing that God will reign, but in believing that God does reign. God reigns now, no matter what happens. No matter what leaders come along, no matter what promises they make or break, no matter how these leaders succeed or fail, it is ultimately God who reigns. And this is good news. But we might still find ourselves doubting whether or not God really is going to do all of the things that Psalm 146 says. And our hope rests in knowing that God has promised that there will come a day when there is no oppression and no suffering and no pain. A day when these things won't even come to mind. Our hope rests in knowing that God will do these things. And it also rests in knowing that God calls us to participate in these things even now. God is the God who gives justice to the oppressed. And God also calls us to participate in acts of liberation. God is the God who feeds starving people, and God also calls us to give bread to the hungry. God is the God who sets prisoners free and protects the marginalized and the vulnerable. And God also calls us to advocate on their behalf. God is faithful. And God also calls us to faithfulness. And our embodiment of faithfulness might look different depending on who we are. Our faithfulness doesn't mean that we need to find a way to do all of the things. It means that we give our whole selves over to whatever it is that we can do. And some days, giving your whole self might actually look like doing all of the things. But other days, giving your whole self might just look like saying a prayer for the people who are doing the things. And both situations involve giving your whole self. Both situations are enough. But no matter what giving our whole self looks like, God is faithful. And that's good news. God, you are faithful. And there are times when we struggle with doubt. There are times when we struggle with seeing how you're present and active in our world. And there are times when we simply don't believe that you are present and active in our world. And yet, through it all, you are faithful. We're thankful that you give us space to express our hope and fear and doubt all at once. And still, you call us to participate in your acts of liberation. When we're tempted to put our hope in human leaders, may we instead be bold enough to put our hope in you. We pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.